You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the one and only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Welcome back for all of you who have been hanging around, and welcome to what I hope is a great place for conversations about great ideas to all of our new listeners. And I'm so amazed at the number of brand new people we've had coming on. You know, when we started about a year ago, it was only like, I can think of maybe like 50 or so just really committed fans, and we were driving off those fans for a while, but just recently we've boomed so much, and it's because you guys are sharing this around. It's because you guys are joining our private fan club, the Remso Republic Nation on Facebook, and you're following me and producer Ryan on Twitter. And it's just this went from just being a project that we had to being a fun program, but most importantly, it's your program. We hope that we're creating a community where we can talk about things open and honestly. And for those of you that have been kind of, you know, paying more attention to season two, because I think season two is our best season so far. Nothing against season one, but we've just been going leaps and bounds ahead of what we used to, especially since the election's over, because we could talk about topics that aren't even political. The one thing that we constantly try and poke at is culture. It's this idea that, you know, ideas transcend nationality. Ideas transcend race. Ideas transcend cultural and societal barriers. And I want to give you kind of a treat, because I know for some of you, when you listen to one podcast, you don't just listen to one. You listen to a good, you know, handful or so. I know I listen to five. My brother Ryan, for the producer, he listens to about six or seven. And then there's like an Because he, you know, I listen to more political stuff. Ryan listens to some political stuff. And then we have our dad, who listens to nothing political. I don't even think he listens to my show sometimes. Maybe he does, but I try not to bring it up. But, you know, politics at the dinner table and all that jazz. But there's one show that we have on all of our iPhones at any given time. And we make sure we cut out time during the week to listen to it, whether we're commuting or we're doing homework or something else or we're at the gym. And this is an example of something that is global. It's something that everyone loves to talk about. Before I go ahead and go into further details, I want to go ahead and introduce our guest. He's done this for over a decade. He's one of the most predominant podcast hosts in the world. His show has had literally millions and millions of downloads. And he touches people around the globe, as I said. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about the paranormal. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the things that go bump in the night, because that's a commonality. So I want to bring to you our special guest, Jim Harold. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight? And thank you for letting me speak with your audience. And so such nice comments. And I'm glad that you and your family enjoy the programs. Thank you so much. How kind.
Not a problem, sir. It's so weird having you on right now, because typically when I hear your voice, I'm doing something. I'm listening to your show, but I actually get to talk to you about, you know, everything we're going to talk about tonight. It's such a treat for me, and I greatly appreciate that. But, enough with the pleasantries. Sir, you've been doing this for over 10 years, and I've got to ask, for those that, you know, and I don't know of many that don't know you, but for that one or two people that might not have listened to your program before, how did you get into the paranormal? But more importantly, how did you get into paranormal podcasting and hosting not one, not two, but three different programs about topics like this and similar to that and all that jazz?
Well, basically it boils down to this, and I think I'm in my 40s. I'm still holding on to mid 40s. I'm not quite ready to say late 40s, but mid 40s. And I grew up as a kid and loved a show called In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And you look at it
Spock.
Now. Yeah, absolutely. And check it out sometime. It's on, I think there's some bootlegs on YouTube or something. Of course, we want to stay legal. Actually, there's a great DVD set of it that's totally official, and you should check that out.
Go buy the DVD, folks.
Exactly. But he did a series that was on for 4 or 5 years about the unexplained. And as a kid, that captivated me. It was kind of like a gateway drug to my fascination with the paranormal I've had my whole life. And my family had a couple of great supernatural stories that I fully believe and still believe to this day that I think kind of whetted my appetite. Then I was a broadcasting student, end up working in broadcasting, but not in front of the mic, but working in advertising and that kind of thing. And in 2005, I look up and I'm in my mid-30s at that point. And I have a wife, two kids, a mortgage, and I'm like, I'm never going to get to follow my dream of broadcasting. So I said, well, I've heard about this thing called podcasting. I think people have been doing it for the last few months. And I listened to some of the shows by some of the great podcasters who really were at the very beginning, Adam Curry, Leo Laporte. Like, I can't do that. These guys have been broadcasting for 30 years. They sound great. They've got these golden voices. And then I listened to some of the homemade podcasts. And I'm like, well, I can do that. And I said, well, what am I going to podcast on? And I came back to, you know, you can't do politics. Everybody, I mean, yeah, I know you guys do politics, but
there are a dime a dozen shows like us.
But I didn't feel that I could add anything personally. And music you can't do because of rights. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I love the paranormal. I want to know about paranormal. Every time I go in a bookstore, when they still have bookstores, library or whatever, I go right to that topic, and there's never enough to satisfy my curiosity. I'm just going to start interviewing these people, so I'll be able to kind of scratch two itches at the same time. Did it as just kind of a lark and kind of for fun. I would say it didn't really get serious for about 3 years. Got a little more serious, got some sponsors. A couple of years, I got a lot more serious. And then in 2012, I quit my full-time job and became a full-time podcaster and been doing that for almost 5 years now. So it's been a blessing to me. I love what I do. I love to talk about the paranormal, and I'm very grateful that there are a lot of people who like to listen to the shows.
Definitely. You're living the dream.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like these network guys that make huge money and, you know, I'm not going to retire to a villain. I don't have a second vacation home. But the fact that I'm just able to make a living doing this is pretty cool.
Definitely. And, you know, you talk about your passion. I talk about what I want my listeners to do out there, especially, you know, millennials like myself, is we live in a society that really tells people, put your passion to the side and just, you know, I call it the life checklist. You got to do this to get that, and you got to make sure you have the white picket fence by here. And then when you're retired and you've saved up enough money on the side of the side money that you were saving, then maybe you can go out and invest in what you want to do. Then maybe you could do what makes you happy. But the fact that you were able to work in your passion to a way that can actually, you know, sustain you and your family financially, that's beautiful. And I wish more people would consider doing that. Take a chance and do that at least.
Well, the way I looked at it, somebody was asking me today, actually, well, how did you do this? And I just looked at it as another job, you know, when you work in media, you tend to have a lot of jobs, and I had a lot of jobs, and some of them worked out great, and some of them were like, eh. And I just thought, well, this is just another job. And if it doesn't work out, I'll just go get another job. I think there's this feeling, particularly in corporate America. I think there's this, and I know this isn't paranormal, but I think there's this belief that you're safe. If you work at a big company and you have the corner office, you're safe. Well, you're safe until there's a buyout, or you're safe until a corporate bean counter looks at a spreadsheet and sees you make too much money. So I don't really think in today's economy there's anything really safe. I think it's more kind of the illusion of safe. Maybe government jobs to some extent, but other than that, I don't think there are many, quote, safe jobs. So I think sometimes we delude ourselves and kind of go with this feeling of safety when there isn't really any safety there at all. I much prefer, for me, to kind of captain my own ship, and I sink or I swim depending on my own efforts. That's kind of my touchstone. And so far it's working. I'm cautiously optimistic. Things could always go wrong, and then I have to go to plan B. But so far, plan A is working out pretty well.
That's great. Sir, I want to take a little bit more time to talk about our next topic. So because of that, we're going to go ahead and cut to our first commercial break a little earlier. Folks, you're listening to the Remso Republic with special guest Jim Harold. Hang on tight. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
The voice of the Liberty Generation. Remso W. Martinez.
Take take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the show. We're still here with our special guest, Jim Harreld. Jim, you know, there are so many things that transcend, you know, borders. There are so many things that transcend cultures. You know, you look at, well, what's one example? Well, you know, you have the Harry Potter phenomenon from the early 2000s, and people in China are enjoying the same things that kids in Minnesota are enjoying, and there are kids in Mexico that are reading the books in their language, and it's touching Australia and Africa, and you've got Harry Potter. And now, you know, we live in the world of Marvel and Disney, and everyone knows who Captain America is. Everyone knows who Spider-Man and Wolverine are and all that stuff. And then you go back, you peel back the layers of our modern culture, and you look at, you know, just parts of mythology, parts of religion, other things that have also kind of been embedded no matter where you go. You know, let's think of things like dragons. You look at, you know, medieval England and they have stories of dragons. You look at the Chinese and they've got that. And then you look at so many other things, whether it's all the different types of creation origin stories that are part of each culture's unique religion or worldview. One thing that I think no one can deny, and I stand by this, when it comes to the paranormal, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, that's something that everyone gets excited about, and everyone has a strong opinion about that one way or another.
Well, I agree, and I think it's interesting. You know, one of the main shows I do is called Jim Harreld's Campfire, and I've been doing that since 2009, and that's where people call in and tell their stories of things that have happened to them. And even when I'm talking to almost the most hardcore skeptic, they'll say, well, I don't go for this stuff. But there was this one time. And I think it speaks to what you were talking about there, is that it is universal. And I think that almost everybody who's listening to this has experienced something that kind of left them scratching their heads, something that didn't seem quite right. Maybe it was something very dramatic. Maybe it was something more subtle. Maybe it's something that happened to a loved one, but almost everybody has a story of the supernatural. Now, a lot of it's ghosts. It could be things like doppelgangers, shadow people, night paralysis, which I know has a medical explanation, but in some cases, some very strange things happen. Strangeness with dreams, UFOs, cryptid sightings. These things happen to many, many people across the globe. That's not even getting into the topic, the one that fascinates me the most, of the afterlife and near-death experiences and what happens when we die. So I think, I often kind of make a joke about that to people. I'll say, today's show, we're not going to talk about Bigfoot or UFOs because maybe you'll never see Bigfoot or a UFO. But I have bad news for you. You're going to die. And today we're going to talk about, maybe not now, maybe not for another 90 years, let's hope. But eventually you
I'm
going
to live forever, Jim. No,
well, you're
that.
The exception. You're the exception. But the point is that these topics are universal. And if UFOs aren't of interest, then ghosts probably are. And if ghosts aren't, everybody really wonders what happens when you die. Some people think nothing. You take the big dirt nap and it's over. Other people like me believe there is something that lies beyond. And then you even get into questions of things like reincarnation. Now, sometimes, I grew up in a Christian faith and sometimes that's kind of a tough one for me. But then you hear these stories about these kids that can remember things that happened in a totally different culture halfway around the world. And they're detailed and they make sense. And how would they know these things? So there's so many mysteries that are so universal. It's like my dad is elderly. He's 81 years old, and he makes me laugh. I'm like, don't you ever run out of things, Jimmy, to put on that show? I'm like, Dad, I'll never run out of things because the topics are fascinating and they're universal and they're endless.
Yeah, that's remarkable. And this is, I'm not going to get into my Bigfoot story. I'm not going to do that. I promise. I'll leave that for another time. But when it comes to this, it always fascinated me growing up. I grew up in Arizona, and I'm a military brat, so we moved around like every year and a half, every 2 years. And just growing up in Arizona alone, we have a lot of ghost towns. I grew up like 30 minutes away from Tombstone, and then across the street was Bisbee and everything else, and we have the Copper Mine and everything else. So, there was just this. And, Arizona is a pretty Catholic state for the most part. And we have a lot of, Native American culture that's, just part of our state. It's just part of kind of our identity. So a lot of stories and a lot of myths and things like that are kind of intertwined. And just growing up, I always just kind of, I always knew that something was there. For me, something, it just didn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah. But, right. But yeah, it's so weird because whether, like you said, whether you're a non-believer or whether you're a skeptic or something else, and you're just, you're like us and you just completely believe it, it's something that a lot of people can kind of come on with. So when it comes to, the stories you hear, have there ever been ones where it's just been like, okay, that's so strange, that's so unbelievable, I just can't buy it? Or do you kind of go with this kind of skeptic's mentality with every story you hear from someone? Because it could possibly happen. Where do you bridge the line between I can believe it and it's just, it's a total hack?
Well, I will say for the most part, I believe the people who call my campfire show believe that something happened to them. I think for the most part, and there are a few people I'm like, they're being insincere and they're just doing this to either have fun with me or just to be on the quote radio, even though it's not technically on radio, but you get the idea. But for the most part, I think people are very sincere. Now, do I think people can be mistaken? Yes. And I do believe there are people who are so enamored with the topic, and I am, but they're so enamored with the topic that they kind of see a ghost behind every corner, if you know what I'm saying. So, I come across very non-judgmental, and I do that for a reason. And also, I would invite people to listen to that show. It's over at jimherold.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're listed on all the major directories. But also, we have a campfire group over on Facebook called Virtual Campfire.
That is fun. I actually joined that a couple weeks ago, and man, the stuff that people post on there, it really fascinates me. I kind of just scroll through my feed and ignore a lot of things, but I've been stopping there quite recently. It's
cool. Cool. Well, the thing about that, we have over 10,000 people, and that's only been up maybe about a year and a half now. I should have started that way, way before that. But anyway, the point is, the reason I think that people feel open to share is that, I'm not doing a Mike Wallace on them and saying, well, but that doesn't make any sense. Now, in my own mind, I might be saying, well, maybe they're, you know, there have been a case where somebody said something happened to them while they were asleep, or they thought they might have been asleep. It's like, they probably had a dream. But I try to keep it very non-judgmental because I want people to feel comfortable. And I want people not to feel that they're going to be attacked. And I think that's worked well because and I hate to use this phrase, a safe space, but it's a place where people know that they can share stuff and they're not going to get pounced on. And that extends to the Facebook group. You know, people can have discussions, they can have disagreements, but if it starts to get disrespectful and people start saying, well, you're crazy and you're imagining things, then those kind of comments and those things get deleted because we want to be very kind to people. Because it's hard for people, you know, people have been told their whole lives that if you saw a UFO or you saw a ghost or something happened to you that you're crazy, you're nuts, you're imagining it, you're making it up. And there's enough of that out there. So I want to provide a place where people can honestly say, here's what happened. Take it for what it's worth. So I'm a believer. I don't necessarily, you know, one thing, for example, that I'm very skeptical about are photography and also videos. I used to do a video podcast where we showed videos and I stopped doing that because all the videos looked like they were faked. So, I mean, I am capable of being skeptical and I think there is a place for skepticism, but I think there's also a place for acceptance. I think you have to kind of hit a middle ground, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you've totally hit that sweet spot, as you mentioned. It's the idea that we need to come to everything with a little bit of skepticism, but at the same time, be open to, you know, hearing other people out.
Right.
Because we never know. Unless we were physically there with
That's
them,
right.
Unless we've been in their shoes, we're not
That's
going
right.
to know. Yeah.
Well, I had a guy who said, and he was quite a bit older than me, but he said in the late 60s when he was a kid, he saw what he perceived as a leprechaun. Now, that seems outrageous. That seems silly. And if he had called some shows, people say, what do you want? And he also said that his brother saw something. But on the other hand, think about it. Maybe he did see something. Maybe it wasn't a leprechaun, but he was a child when this happened. Maybe his mind morphed it into that. I mean, there's even talk of if you believe in aliens and you believe in alien experiences, there are such things that are called screen memories that are supposedly planted to replace the vision of what you actually saw. So I can't say that he didn't see something that he interpreted as a leprechaun. Do I think it was actually a leprechaun? Probably not. There probably wasn't a pot of gold there at the end of the rainbow. But I do believe he probably did see something. So, I mean, I think you've got to kind of look at it this way. And to your point, I think a lot of it is, you know, you weren't there. You didn't see it. So you don't know what they saw. So I know that's not the skeptical way of looking at it, but I tend to look at things that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 22. I'll throw that out there. I'm only 22. But even with, you know, everything that's happened the last 17 years, and I think, you know, the millennial generation, we've had it hard. We've had recessions. We've had, you know, pop culture shifts that don't really make any sense. We've had constant war. We've had so much, you know, unbelievable things happen the past 17 years. I think I'm at that point, you know, for me, I'm a little different because I've always believed in the paranormal and stuff like that. I think we're at that point where everyone is a little bit more open to things. And I know the media will say we're in the age of intolerance, but I think more people are willing to actually, you know, open their minds to these ideas more so now than maybe even a decade ago. But maybe
I agree. I mean, I feel that way. You know, I've been doing this since 2005 and I can see a difference. Now it's not as like, you better be quiet, not say that you saw a ghost. So I think that it is becoming more accepted. I absolutely agree with that viewpoint. And I think that's a good thing because here's my thought. I don't know what's going on, but I firmly believe something is going on. And I don't know if you're familiar with Plato's allegory of the cave.
Yes.
And I'll probably misstate it, but basically the idea is like humanity is like a man chained to the wall of a cave. And he's seeing shadows on the wall, but he doesn't know what they are. You know, there's fire and there's shadows on the wall, but he has no ideas what is casting that shadow because he can't see around the corner to see that it's a person or whatever casting the shadow. And essentially, I think that's kind of where we're at as humanity. I used to think that all these topics were real separate, that they had no connection, like UFOs were over here and cryptids, which I tend to be a little more skeptical about, honestly, but I'm not willing to say it's not possible. I even do a plus podcast on cryptids, but cryptids or UFOs, I mean, Stan Gordon, a researcher in Pennsylvania, has done a lot of work on the coincidence of UFO sightings and Bigfoot sightings. So I think there may be something behind all of these different phenomena that is somehow linked. Now, what that is, I have no idea. The funny thing is, when I started these shows in 2005, I thought, well, I will do these shows for 6 months, and I'll get to interview all these great thinkers, and I'll finally have all this paranormal stuff figured out. And the truth is 12 years in, I've got more questions than I had the day I started out.
Exactly. The moment you think you're ahead, you just find out that there's so much more you don't know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm always learning about new and fascinating things. Two topics that are fascinating me these days is the Mandela effect, if you've talked at all about that.
What's that? That's,
are you familiar?
Not at all.
Oh, this will blow your mind.
Bring it.
well, now you're a little young for this, but the Berenstain Bears.
I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then how would you, would you say that they were spelled with an E or an A?
For Berenstain or Bears?
Berenstain.
Oh, shoot. I'm spelling it in my head right now. I'd say...
there's a point to this.
There's an E. So E.
There's an E. Most people say there's an E. I say there's an E. It's spelled with an A.
No.
No, look it
Ryan,
up.
Did you hear that? Look Ryan, I want you to Google that. Google that.
Google this right now. Mandela effect and the Berenstain Bears. And this is, I'm surprised you haven't heard about this. It's really been hot on the internet the last year or two. And the idea is that so many people remember it with an E. And there are also other things, like many people, the reason it's called the Mandela effect. Many people believe that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1960s, and they remember that. Of course, we know that he became president of South Africa, and I believe he won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
So, but many people have a totally different memory, and you can go down the line and there are like 50 different things that people remember differently. Like some people recall Kirk Douglas, the famous actor, dying and it being big news, and other people don't. So the idea behind this are they're parallel universes and that things are being changed. And
the thing is,
there's no way to prove it. Yeah. So there's no way to prove it, because if you go back and look at your Berenstain Bears book from when you were a kid, it's got the A. But you swore. When I looked at that when I was 10 years old, that had an E. So it really is a mind blower. That's one of the things. And the other one is black-eyed kids. The idea that there are these kids who prey upon people, try to come into their house, try to get rides, and they have totally black eyes. That's another thing. Now, that could be an urban legend. Or maybe it's something real. But I think Mandela effect is number one on my list right now.
That is crazy. I've definitely got to look more into that. But speaking of terrifying, folks, we're going to close the show on, you know, what I'm hoping is a little bit more of a scarier, frightening note. We're going to take our final commercial break, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Remsa Republic. Hang on tight.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back. We're about to hit our final segment. Sir, as a fan, I've got to ask this. And I think everything has been coming to this moment. And
okay.
I know you've probably heard this a million times, but Jim, I've got to ask. What's the scariest story you've ever been told?
That's a tough one. One of my favorites revolves around the Ouija board. This was in, I believe, my first book. By the way, folks, I've got 5 books of campfire stories that are ghost spooky stories. And this one was, I think it was Leanne in Utah, perhaps I'm remembering. And her and her friend, like so many people out there, were playing with a Ouija board. Now, I'm leery of Ouija boards, but a lot of people play with them. So they were playing with a Ouija board. And they were asking different things and so forth and so on. And then the one girl asks it, if you're here, give us a sign. Now, the lights were down. There were some candles. And they had one of those lava lamps. If you're familiar with those that have like the waxy gloop in it.
I'm not so that young, Jim. I still have one in my college dorm.
There you go. There you go. So anyway, lava lamp. And anyway, they say, show us a sign if you're here. And out of the corner of the eye, the one girl looks over and sees the lava lamp. And the gloopy stuff in the middle is like kind of coagulating. And it's almost forming into something. And she shows the other girl and they start to look at it. And it forms into almost like a head and then a face. And then it turns into the face of a devil, with gnarling teeth, growling teeth, and with a horrible expression. Well, the girls are terrified. They close the Ouija board, and guess what happens? The lava lamp goes back to normal. The face dissipates.
Oh, that's
needless to say, needless to say, they stopped playing with the Ouija board that night.
That is screwed up, especially since I saw that movie Ouija on TV a couple of weeks ago. So now I've got like
stuff.
A picture in my head. That is, that's always been one of those things where that is the one area in terms of the paranormal where when I bring it up to even friends of mine who think that all of this is just, you know, myths and smoke and mirrors,
right?
They won't even mess with it.
I won't do it, but ironically, I'm going to be having, and I haven't even announced it yet, but I'm going to have a webinar in my Plus Club with someone who believes that the Ouija board is fine if you know how to deal with it, and they'll be interested to get her perspective. I'm more skeptical about it, and I'm kind of probably like you're saying, I don't want to play with one. I think in my life I've, quote, played with a Ouija board once, and that was probably about, 16, 17, 18 years ago before I started the podcast. And after all the stories I've heard, I wouldn't necessarily do it. But I could be wrong. No, nothing happened. Nothing happened, but I don't want to give it another chance. One of my...
I'll blame you.
A caller who had studied the Ouija board told me once that he believed it was like going to the worst part of town spiritually, dress up in your best clothes and go there at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're going to get mugged. And I've always heard they're kind of lower level entities that try to use the Ouija board to access you. So I guess to me, I kind of look at it this way. You know those guys that like can carve ice with a chainsaw?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, chainsaw is not dangerous for them because they know what they're doing. Put a chainsaw in my hand and have me do that, and I'll probably come out of it without my hands. So I kind of look at the Ouija board as a spiritual chainsaw that you better know what you're doing if you're going to mess with it.
Definitely. And, you know, just I know we got to close up the show in a little bit, but, you know, just kind of throw this out there. It's like everything you just said. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but, you know, South Park.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah. There was an episode of South Park where the kids, one of them messes with a Ouija board, but the other one, it's like a spoof on Bloody Mary. You go into a dark bathroom, you close the door and you say Bloody Mary 3 times. Well, one of the characters is basically dared to go into the bathroom, but he has to say Biggie Smalls 3 times. And eventually Biggie Smalls comes out and, you know, he's pulling out a gun and he's like, "Who just called me?" And he's like chasing the kids and stuff. And I watched that with a whole bunch of my friends. You know, they're mixed views on this. And I was at Marion Military Institute at the time. And that school is like, I'm convinced it's haunted. I know enough people that went there with me and they're like, that place is screwed up. And we watched that episode of South Park. And as soon as it was over, I looked at someone. I'm like, who wants to go play Bloody Mary in the latrine down the hallway? Everyone was like, man, you don't play with that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sir, I bet we could go on for hours and hours about this. I've had such a blast. If people want to, you know, listen to your show, read some of your books, just keep up with you and everything you do, how can they do so?
Well, the main place you can go is jimharold.com, JimHarold.com. They can listen to all the free podcasts there. They can find all my podcasts on iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone and iPad, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you listen to the podcasts. And also my books are all, you can find them at jimharold.com or on Amazon. Just look up Jim Harold's Campfire. And we have 5 books out, plus an adult coloring book. And that's adult in the nice sense, just a coloring book for grownups based on the campfire stories. And they're all there and pretty inexpensive, particularly in electronic format. You can get those for $2.99 a piece, and they're like 250-page books. So lots of ghost stories to kind of send a shiver down your spine.
Outstanding. Sir, thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been such an absolute blast having you on. Truly.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Folks, I hope you had fun tonight. I really hope you do. And for some of you, you're like, well, you know, I typically don't listen to your show, Remso, to hear about this. But it all comes back to this. There's so many things that, you know, transcend culture. They transcend borders. They transcend language and nationality. And you know, online, you know, social media is terrible because you see the worst of humanity, and we see it on the news, and we've become so callous towards each other. So many people use politics as collateral damage in friendships. And when it comes to life, I mean, we've got so much going on. We have so many questions unanswered, like, where's Bigfoot? And maybe if you tune in a couple weeks, I'll bring up the Bigfoot story. But you've got to do that. And like always, in order to do that, I hope you subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Player FM. We're everywhere. And if you can't find the platform or network of your choice, like Liberty.me Studio, which syndicates the show, go ahead and check us out at www.remsorepublic.com. As always, be good to your neighbor, be awesome, and tune in next time, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?